Proverbs 22, and this is study 30 in our word study of wisdom. And we're going to look here at personal character. And it starts in chapter 19, but I really wanted to go to chapter 22, 23, and 24 before I move on from this. And so I'm trying to get about a chapter, a study in. And today's study is February the 12th, 2020. And as I said, it's study 30. And we're going to just go with verse 1 and go down at least, going to try to make it at least through 21, because here you got the personal character, then you got a call to hear, and then you generally wind up with toward the end of the chapter with the personal conduct. And there's about five chapters here that is included in this general study. So I didn't start with the first one. I started with the second one. But we may go back and pick up the first one before we leave. Okay, so here we go. 22:1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So to look at this, it talking here about a good name. And we find that it's rather to be chosen. So we have the ability to make our name where we live and where we stay and who we deal with. We can choose to make it good, or we can choose to make it not good. And so that's what a person can be chosen to be known as. You can be something that's good and useful to God and practical to your place where you live, or it can be the other way. And it says also the second part of that, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So it's the way we conduct ourselves. And also the illustration here is to look at Ecclesiastes 7:1. We're not going to go there because I've got it written down in my notes anyway. To a certain extent. And when you talk about a good name, here it is in Ecclesiastes 7:1, it says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and is better for death than it is for birth. And you know, the Jews always had precious ointments, to put on the bodies of people when they was to bury them away, or to put them either in a family tomb or in a private tomb. And so the precious ointment, you know, you remember in Scripture, one of the women talking to Christ used the precious ointment for the hair. And it was spoken against. And then Christ said, no, it's not for a birth time, but it's for a burying time, because they didn't have the ways, or didn't use the ways of the Pharaohs or the Egyptians. They used the way that they had been brought up and trained up as a member of Abraham's clan. And so we see there that here is a, you have these indications here or illustrations of people if you want to go and do a study on it, because they'll give you, here the Lord had given Solomon an illustration of what had taken place already. So what he's talking about here, he has already explained it to people somewhere, in some way, in some fashion. And it says in verse 2, the rich and the poor meet together, but the Lord is the maker of them all, in verse 2. So it says the rich and the poor meet or live and abide together. And here, poor means needy. So you have the rich and you have the needy. And when they live in these cities, inside these gates, they's interchanging amongst all of the different statures of people. And so the instructions there is the Lord Jehovah is the maker or the owner of them all. And so the Lord is not a respecter of persons. So, but he says, you know, the way things are set up, we're all to live together on this earth and get along. Then he talks about a prudent man. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So it says a prudent man. And that's 6175 in the Strong's in the Hebrew. And the word there is cunning. The word prudent means cunning. Can figure these things out. And sometimes it's in a bad sense rather than a good sense. Because you can be cunningly smart or you can be cunningly shrewd. And so there's a big difference between the two. Cunningly smart is to know God and to allow God to guide and direct, or to be shrewd is like what it's talking about here, basically. Cunningly, usually in a bad sense. Man foreseeth or discerns the evil. The cunning man can foresee and discern the mischief. And he can hide himself from it to a certain extent. He can't hide from God, but he can hide from the other people, the other men, or the other persons. He said, but the simple, the unsuspecting ones, the people that don't have the knowledge, don't have, that hasn't been taught, other than maybe self-taught or being taught in a fatherly way at home. The simple, the unsuspecting passion pass on or go on and are punished, or they don't realize the evil that's going to come to them and they got to suffer it and pay the penalty. And so that's the difference between the two. One is cunningly shrewd, and he sees things coming down the road that he knows he's going to get in trouble, so he tries to hide himself from it. But the poor guy, the guy that don't have the education, he don't foresee these things ahead of time, and so he doesn't prepare for them. And so it's like being in a famine. Now the shrewd guy could lay aside food, but the unsuspecting one, he left hanging out. So he's got to pay the penalty, you know, for that kind of stuff. So that's it's information that all need to know and to understand, because it says in verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So, humility or its rewards is the fear of Jehovah, because all wisdom comes from God. And God gives people the brain and offers and gives them the truth that goes with it. And we find that these things all deal with what we have and the honor that we get from others, and the life that the Lord lets us have. And that, it's the reward of humility is the fear of Jehovah, because he is in control of all this stuff at that point. And so that is another lesson of life that's very important. Then we get to verse 5 where it says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, not forward, but froward. He that doth keepeth his soul shall be far from them. So in verse 5 talks about, you know, we've talked about the prudent, we've talked about the rich, we've talked about humility and the reward of humility. And now we're getting down to the curses that God put upon the earth in Adam's day. And it talks about thorns and snares, because he told Adam, he said, when he threw him out of the garden, he says, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow, and they're going to be, everything almost that you deal with is going to have some form of hurt to you. And also, snares that, man brings forth on man. Said they're in the way of the froward. And that's, is a full stop there, and it means, froward means perverse. One that wants to bring harm and hurt to another. But it says, he that doth keep his soul or his nephesh in check shall be far from them. So man has a way of deciding these things, and the lesson there is to work away from those things that causes you the problem. Then he talks about children, and he says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We all have heard this down through our life, the train up. And to train up there is literally means to keep within bounds a child in the way or the child's walk. Because the child is like a grown up. He gets out of sight, he can decide which way he wants to go. And so, in our walk study that we did a few years ago, we found out that, man, whatever age he is, has the ability to walk the way God wants him to walk, or he can walk the way that he wants to walk. And there's awards and penalties with both. You know, so, but that again is a full stop in that verse. And it says, and when he is old, he will not depart from the walk that he's been trained up in, generally speaking. Some do. Because even in Paul's day, Paul says, some of his people have chosen to leave his teaching and go back into the world and go back into the things of the world. So, you know, some may call that backsliding, but nevertheless, that's kind of the way of the look of things. Even if you're within the teaching of someone that really knows what they're talking about, it can be more than some may want to take. Then we get back to the rich person again. It seems like we can't go over five or six verses until it talks about the difference between the rich and the poor. It was then, has been before then, and has been after then, and is now. It's the same kind of a situation. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Boy, how much greater truth there is in that. It's hard to find in the worldly stuff, because that's the way the world is kind of set up. The rich person ruleth over the poor person, and the borrower is servant as one who owns, or one who owes, I'm sorry, to the leader.
I bet you never see that lender. On a sign.
Huh?
I bet you never see that on a sign hanging up in a loan company office.
No. So the borrower is a servant, and he owes the lender, and he's never going to forget it till the lender is paid off.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is another good lesson. And it says in verse 8, and he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. So, here we're getting back again with the sower and the reaper. And, of course, this was the way that man fed himself. If he didn't sow, he couldn't reap. There were certain things in nature that would come about on their own, but there was a lot of things where man had to do the work. And, of course, God told Adam, you're going to have to work. So he that soweth iniquity, untruth and trickery. I can't hardly say that. Trickery. If you sow untruth and trickery, you shall reap vanity. And all you got to do is go to Ecclesiastes, again, the next book, and find that Solomon says that vanity was human toil found putting forth under the sun. To work in the sun, he says, is vanity. That's toil, man. That's kind of as bad as he gets with mankind. If he's out in the sun, working in the sun. And he says, and the rod of his anger and that's the strength of this rod here that we're talking about is untruth and trickery. He said, and the strength of the rod shall fail. So if you're going to sow iniquity, if you're going to sow untruth, if you're going to sow things that you're trying to trick somebody out of what they got, it ain't going to work. It just ain't going to work. And that goes on and on and on in this whole world today. That is another thing that's as truthful today as it was when it was written here. And then we get to verse 9. And it says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. So you see, when we went up there a while ago and we talked about riches and humility, and we talked about riches and honor and life, well, here again it's brought up in verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye, one who has been blessed by God with plenty, that is a blessing. He shall be blessed. He says, for he giveth of his bread or food to the poor or to the needy. And that's going to bring him more blessing. When God blessed him, then what he does with the blessing can either be a greater blessing or a hindrance in times. But here he's talking about the greater blessing. And then here's another one. Boy, I like this one. It says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. And I kind of think of my aunt when I was doing this and read this. And I had an aunt that would work in some of these garment plants around. And they could hire her and she could walk in and everything would be running well. And it wouldn't be but a little while if somebody would be just about in a fight. And my aunt was kind of the scorner. She couldn't get along.
Stir up stinking.
Yeah. It says, cast out or pitch out the scorners. And this is the scoffer or the troublemaker. And the illustration there was Ishmael after Abraham and Sarah had this child by the handmaid, thinking that God wouldn't give them the son that they had been promised. And then when Isaac come along, then Abraham saw that Ishmael was not of the sort that needed to grow up with Isaac. And so they cast him out. They put him and his mother away out in the desert. But he promised them that he would make princes out of them, 10 princes. And guess what? That are the nations that where we get or have gotten a lot of our oil from over the years. Because that's the nations that are still there now. And they just about as soon kill a man as to look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, they're wild people. And so that this was the illustration here. The scorners or the scoffers or the troublemakers, scoffers, and contentious. It's very troublesome. He says, in the rest of that tenth, if you put them out or put them away, or cast them out or put them away, and then he says, your strife and reproach shall cease or stop. Because a lot of times it doesn't take but one to make a problem or cause a problem. And that happens in, especially in manufacturing. I've been in manufacturing off and on all my life. And sometimes it don't take but one to kind of stir
what
up
Billy
the pot
used to say.
And keep the mess going. And a lot of times you just have to show them to the door and get rid of them. That's the only thing you can
remember
do.
Remember Billy used to say you get a good construction crew and you had to be real careful who else you hired.
Yeah.
Because when you had it working like it was supposed to work, one bad one messed the whole thing up.
Right. We get to verse 11 and it says, he that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. He that loveth pureness of heart, one pure of heart. And if you're pure of heart, you're generally in the will of God. And then the rest of that, it says, for the grace of his lips, or of the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend, certainly. Because the king is like, manufacturing is like a mayor of a town or like whoever's in charge. If things are running good, everything seems to be okay. But when things go the other way, then you got your problem. So that is another good thing to look forward to. Then verse 12. It says, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. So you see, God gives out this knowledge according to his will and his plan and his purpose. Because God does have a plan and purpose for the ages. And what God is a giver of secrets and a giver of knowledge that has not before been established. And that's truth. And that's God's truth. So the eyes of the Lord preserves, and that is to save, to keep, or to guard, and it's often his secret till he decides to bring it forth. It's kind of like having a statue out here and you're going to have it unveiling. Mm-hmm. And you pull the cover off. And here it is in all its glory, or whatever, and it's shown to the world. And so it's no longer a secret in that sense. So knowledge is kind of that way. It says, knowledge, and he, the Lord, overthroweth the words or the affairs of the transgressor or the traitor. Now, transgressor there is translated traitor. And so to overthrow the words or the affairs of a transgressor, he can't last very long because he has been shown for what he is. And it says in 13 it says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, and I shall be slain in the streets. Well, that often happens quite a lot, even in this day and age, because people sit around and look to find ways to get into your house to take your information or take your goods or whatever, because they've done it by guile or by lying or deceit. And so it says, the cheater, the liar, the slothful man saith, there is a lion outside or without. And you know, we talked in 2 or 3 studies ago about the woman that talked in the open places or in the streets. Well, here is someone using this open space to gain a way in, or to gain a way to overcome someone. Because he says, I shall be slain in the streets or the open places. I ain't got nowhere to go. Gonna knock on your door. Can I come in? Can I use your bathroom? I ain't got nowhere to go.
Well, it basically says there's a lion outside and I'm going to be slain in the streets like there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Caught between a rock and a hard spot.
Yeah. He wants to be in the enclosure.
Mm.
Okay. And in the place where people have their goods stored. And so we get down to 14. It says, the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. So we get down to 14 before we get in. And it seems like the further we go, the worse hole we're kind of digging ourselves. The mouth and the lips of a strange woman. And that in the notes there says is apostate. An apostate there is a false religion or part of a prostitution racket. Hmm. It says that's a deep pit. That's somewhere you don't want to go, because you may not get out of it.
Fall in, you can't get out.
Yeah, there's a full stop at the end of that. And it says, he that is abhorred or hateth of the Lord shall fall therein. And if you're abhorred by the Lord, that means it is something that he cannot stand. And if you get into a situation like that, and you don't have the help of the Lord to get out by yourself, it may become impossible to get out of that. So that is something to think about also. Verse 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And foolishness is unlearned evil. And guess what? We all got to grow up.
Yep.
And a lot of times we don't, as a young person, and I've been one time. I'm not that old. I'm old, but I ain't that old. Is sometimes we do things that's crazy. It's bad. But it says foolishness is bound or born within the heart of a child. We're all born in sin. And it behooves us to make a choice somewhere down the road. And a lot of times it's pretty hard to overcome that. But the rod of correction, and I put here, I could have put a lot of things because I myself have used a lot of things. I just put the paddle. This is the rod of correction. My superintendent at school called it the Board of Education. And he had one. And he hung on his office. And he could turn you over the desk and give you a little trip with the Board of Education.
Have a meeting.
So I put the paddle here. So the paddle is fresh in my memory because he didn't use it on me, but he sure threatened a couple of times there. But he was using the rod of correction. It said it shall drive it far from him or her. And so it's not, and boys don't take it as it's just boys because it can be either male or female. Because I get a paper every day, 5 days a week, and I've been looking in the paper, and they have an arrest list.
The weekly winners.
Well, it's a daily thing.
On daily winners.
Yeah, and most times you got about 35 on the weekend, the 2 days that paper don't come, but then the rest of the time you'll have 10 or 15, and used to, and I was a magistrate for 7 years, and used to you didn't have too much trouble with a woman being put in the hoosegow. But now, half of them are better. They're women. So, you know, you got to look at this as being either one or the other. And I know in 16, the very first word in 16 is he. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches. And he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. A person that oppresses the poor, I got where I can't hardly read it. Say the words, take advantage of or to increase his or their riches. And also, he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want or need. And so this verse here ends the what is it, the call to their personal character. And we're going to take up the rest of the time with the call to hear. Proverbs gives us a list of these things. And it runs from Proverbs 19:20 through chapter 24:34. And sometimes if you just want something to study, this is a good subject to take up, because we just went through a few of these here. Not nearly all that are there. And you can see the wisdom in all this. But then from 17 through 21 kind of goes back and talks about the things that we talked about before in these studies, and the reason why that God revealed them, in a sense. How much time we got left?
It's about 10 minutes.
Okay.
10 minutes.
So we got about a 5 minute late start. So.
Yeah, I like to look at the record time instead. You got about 15 minutes.
Okay. So we're going to look at 17 through 21. This is a call to hear. And it's the words to the wise. So it's like we haven't heard some of the words of the wise already. But I think the Lord had put these in a little special category for Solomon. And so here we go. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. And apply thine heart unto my knowledge, the Lord's knowledge. So he says, bend down the ear, place it in place for the true hearing, or the hearing of truth, and hear the words of the wise. This is what God hath made known unto man, and apply or allow in thine heart unto my knowledge. And what he was going to apply in thine heart was thoughts and powers. And he was going to put that in man's heart. And he wrote it this way because Solomon and the people that dealt with Solomon in his reign on this earth, and he was the king now of Israel, and Israel was not divided at the time, and the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't come. And so redemption hadn't been made in full through his blood at that time. And so the Holy Spirit was with or upon. It was never indwelling with these people. And it wasn't going to be indwelling until the Lord came and made it possible for that to happen. Then it was indwelling. So here, when we read this again, bow down thine ear, hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart to knowledge. Because you're going to have to apply my words, what I said, to truth, and let that guide you. Because we know now, all these years later, that the Holy Spirit was not the GPS system, but it became man's GPS system when Christ died on the cross and he gave his blood and his body, and he made it possible that the Holy Spirit could indwell man and guide and direct them But here, it's a little different situation. Okay. The ear was for the hearing, and the words was wise, and they were God's words. And this is what God had made known unto man, unto Solomon and those with him, that they were to allow in thine heart unto my knowledge, and my thoughts, and my powers. In verse 18 it says, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. So the words needed to be within thee. Just like the Holy Spirit gives you the understanding, the words, and the directions, now is within you. And it wasn't then. And it couldn't have been then. Because it just wasn't that way. It wasn't God's plan and purpose at that time, but yet he has talked about it that it can be known. He says, for it's a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. His knowledge, his power, and his thoughts. Okay? They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. They will be there for you to say. What did later on, when Paul talked about going before the council, after he got to Italy, after he went to Caesar, and they had to go before the council, and it was told them, don't make your statements up before you get there. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say.
Think not what you shall say.
When that happens. So you see the difference in the dispensations that we go through, and that we understand that God does these things kindly and almost in steps. And it says in 19 that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. So he's telling Solomon, and he's telling those people, he says, that thy trust or your confidence may come to be or may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. He says, I have given you this confidence that you can know and to use. In verse 20 it says this, have I not written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? So he goes back to talk about the things of chapter 8, the former things, or the before things. He says, have I not written to thee excellent things? Were these things not excellent? You didn't know before I told you. They are excellent things. And they are things that are within you now that you can give to others. Those of chapter 8, the former things or the before things. In counsels and knowledge. That these before things that was talked about in chapter 8 of Proverbs, and if you didn't get it or you didn't understand it, go back and look at chapter 8. Talking about before the world ever was. And the fact that you were in God, he chose you before he ever made anything.
Amen.
And that's where you and I stand in love today. in God's love, in God's almighty grace. That was the excellent things. These other things we just talked about are things in the world. Get you through the world. But when he talks about things before times or before the world was, that's excellent things because he is opening up the curtain a little bit and he is giving you a peek into the things that before had been secret. God is a giver of secrets. Don't ever forget it. Because this is where our wisdom hopefully is going to take us to our hope when we get to the end of this study. Okay, verse 21, and we'll close. That I might make thee known the certainty of the words of truth. Wow. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. And I put an I with that I sinned unto thee. The ones that the Lord is going to send to Solomon, he says that I might make thee known the certainty of the words, the sayings and the utterances that have been written. They are truth. God doesn't deal in lies. He only deals in truth. It tells us in Scripture that you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That is God's word. That is the excellent things that he has given to us. Truth.
Amen.
That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them. And I'm going to put the I in there, that I send unto thee. For understanding. And that one there is the Queen of Sheba. That there is the illustration of the Queen of Sheba. And if you want to know what that means, the illustration is in 1 Kings chapter 10. And all of these verses here have illustrations in them, and a lot of them have a lot of illustrations. And it's something that has already been done quite normally. But when he talks about things, when he opens the curtain back a little bit and gives you a peek into things that you didn't know and I didn't know or couldn't know, then there's no real illustration that can go with that, except God says, it's excellent and it's truth. It's my secrets. I gave it to you. Now, you do with it to do my bidding. And that's what Solomon was told. I'm giving you this wisdom that you can turn around and lay groundwork for others that they may understand this great truth, this excellent truth yourself, that you have the knowledge to do that from within your lips.
Mm-hmm.
I have told you, you remember it, and you put it forth. So that's our study for today. And I hope that we made it plain enough that we all can understand it. Because even today, we now have greater knowledge. We have, that was given to Paul. They've been given more excellent knowledge than the excellent knowledge we had there. But that, along with what we got, from the Apostle Paul when Christ showed him these secret truths that he had, that we was going to be allowed to reveal them to other people. When we add all this excellent knowledge together, this excellent truth, oh, we're not thankful enough.
Amen.
That's we're just great. Not thankful enough. Because that's, upon that hinges our entire hope of eternity. Not just a few years, but eternity. And so, he gave us that to share. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us to share that and to guide us to others that need to hear it too. Because quite often we talk and we express ourselves to people not really understanding or knowing if they're going to believe it or not. And they may not believe it, but that's not our problem. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To get them into shape to our where they can understand it also.
Preach it. Put it forth.
Yeah. And so that's where we are. And that's the reason we call it truth for today.
Amen.